Joy to the world. Christ has been born. And that's why we're here tonight. We're here to celebrate that. We want to welcome you to Maranatha Bible Church, and we want to extend a special welcome and say thank you for being with us tonight. This is our annual Christmas service, and it's fun to see many familiar faces and some new faces as well. We're just so grateful that you're with us tonight, and this is our church family's opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so we're very excited about the opportunity to do that. We've got a wonderful evening planned for us. We have some time in singing together as a congregation. Our choir is going to sing for us. We have some special music as well with some narration and just a short message as well. So I promise you that. But we're so grateful that you're here. And we just want to celebrate and remember that God came to earth. Christ was born in the manger. He grew to be a man. And he died for us to save us from our sin. We're going to worship together as a church family. We invite you to stand right now as the worship team and the choir leads us in worship to our great God in celebration of his birth.
I'm going to start out singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." The opportunity to be here and sing of your joy, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you that we can remember this night, the birth of your Son. And we pray as that we go throughout the rest of the year and out throughout the next year, that we'll remember the joy and the hope that we have in you, because you redeemed us through that one and only Son, so that we could have a right relationship with you. In your name we pray.
Felt its worth. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "Well, in Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route.
Of earth on a course.
The prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up! Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for them. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Thank you.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Have your hearts been blessed tonight? I trust they have, because this is really just a big celebration party for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want Him to get the glory, we want Him to get the praise. And we're just so grateful. God has blessed us here at Maranatha with so many talented musicians. And we want to thank the orchestra and the choir and the other musicians and the vocalists and Steve for reading. Just what a wonderful, tremendous evening it's been already, just to celebrate Christ and remember His birth. We want you to know, and I want to take just a few moments tonight for you to really know why we do this. This is not an opportunity just for us to showcase our excellent musicians. It's not an opportunity for us just to kind of have a nice production and have people applaud. There's one reason we do this. And the reason we do this is because of Jesus Christ. His incarnation is the single greatest event in human history. The fact that God became a man to live among us and dwell among us is really the single greatest event that's ever transpired. We talked about it this morning, if you were here at our church, that we ultimately can't wrap our minds around this magnificent truth. How is it that you can take God, that God can take Himself in all of His infiniteness and all of His majesty and all of His glory and all of His power and all of His sovereignty and all of His omnipresence and put that into a body? But that's what happened. 2,000 years ago, God stepped into time and space. That needed to happen. For if that did not happen, we would all be lost in our sin and under God's wrath forever. See, here's the gospel. The gospel is that every single one of us are sinners. We have disobeyed God. We have rebelled against God. We have not followed His instructions. We have been characterized by disobedience. We have violated His standards. And it only takes one small sin for us to be guilty of that. One little lie, one stealing something, one bad thought or unkind word to someone. That's all it takes to make us sinners. We all know we've done far more than that. And so the scriptures tell us without any hesitation that we are dead in our sins. Without Christ, every single person who's ever lived is dead. Dead spiritually. Without any hope, without any life in them. They may be physically alive, but spiritually dead. This is what Romans chapter 3 says. It says, there are none righteous, not even one. There's none who understand. There are none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Not one person's ever done good. You say, well, I do good things and I'm nice to people. Yeah, those are nice things to do. But in God's eyes, that doesn't make you good. You see, to get into heaven, you have to be perfect. God says, in order to get into my heaven, to be with me forever, you must be perfect. You say that standard's too high. It's not too high, because that's who God is. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. God is perfect in every single way. So if you're going to live with God in heaven forever, you've got to be perfect. It's a pretty high standard. None make that standard. None meet that standard because we're all sinners. We've all stumbled and fallen and missed our way and sinned against a holy God. And so because of that, because God's holy, because He's righteous, because He is pure and will not tolerate any sin in His presence, He must punish sin. He must send people to hell. He must pour out His wrath and judgment upon those who fail to come to Him for salvation. And so hell is a real place. There are millions of people there already. That's the bad news. But we need to tell you the bad news, because if you don't understand the bad news, you can't appreciate the good news. And the good news is God's also loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's compassionate and He's tender. And He has in His mercy sent Christ, sent Himself in the form of Christ, fully God, fully man, to become the one who pays for our sins. Christ was born as a baby, all deity wrapped up into this little tiny baby. And God steps into this world. How this can be and how we can have in God, in Christ, full godness and full deity and full humanity really is beyond our comprehension, but that's what happened. Christ emptied himself. Although he did not divest himself of his divine attributes, he still possessed those, but he emptied himself of the full expression of those divine attributes. And he emptied himself not by subtraction, but by addition. You understand that? God did not empty himself in the form of Christ by subtraction, but by addition. He added humanity to his deity. And he humbled himself, became a man, and entered this world. He lived a perfect life. Unlike anything we've done, we can't live that perfect life. So he lived that perfect life for us. And then because the Jews at that time and the people of the world at that time hated him, they put him on a cross. And they killed him because they hated what he said, because he went after their bankrupt spiritual system and religious system. And so because they hated him so much, they killed him. But those plans didn't thwart God's purposes. Because it was in that plan, in that purpose, in the death of Christ, that God placed our sins upon Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, who had no sin of his own to pay for, but God placed our sin upon Christ. And as Christ died, the lights went out. And for 3 hours, as Christ hung upon the cross, God's wrath and justice and judgment were poured out on Christ. For sins he didn't commit. This is the glory of the gospel. As Christ finally said, "It is finished." He didn't mean my life was over only. He meant the payment has been paid. The requirement for the law has been satisfied. The penalty has been given. Christ has paid for sin. There's nothing more that needs to be paid for. It's complete. It's done. The sacrifice is sufficient. And so Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, hung on that cross as our substitute. So that we don't have to die, so that we don't have to perish, so that we don't have to be under God's wrath and under his judgment and be in hell forever. That's not for us if we're in Christ. And so now there's a choice. And now God has opened the doors of heaven to anyone who will embrace Christ. Remember, I said you got to be perfect to get into heaven. So you can either try that on your own, which you'll fail at, or you can take Christ's perfection upon yourself. You see, as Christ hung upon that cross, there was an amazing exchange taking place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we could become the righteousness of God in him." You see what happens when you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The work's been done. You stop trying to be a good person. You stop earning your way to heaven. You stop being religious. You stop putting all your effort into trying to be approving to God. He just simply says, "Come to me in Christ, and I will give you Christ's perfection." Everything that Christ is, all of his perfection, all of his righteousness, everything that's perfect about Christ is yours. If you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, turning from your lifestyle of trying to live your own life and embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do that, God gives you the righteousness of Christ. And listen to this, he sees you now. As perfect. We're not. But because of the sacrifice of Christ, his perfections are credited to our account. And when God sees us, he says, "That's my son. That's my daughter. They're perfect in Christ." That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Is that true of you tonight? Some of you may be here tonight and you say, "I'm a good person." Listen, it's not good enough. And some of you may be here tonight and you're saying, "Oh, I'm a religious person. I go to church." That's not enough. Some of you may be here tonight and you say, "Well, I've had some religious experience in the past, or something's happened to me. I've had a spiritual experience in the past," but you know you're far from God. That may not be enough. The issue is, have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Is his righteousness yours? Have you embraced the forgiveness and the gospel that he offers to you? It's free. It costs you nothing except your life. Do you know that forgiveness? Do you know that, Joy? Listen, there's no other way. Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. Listen, not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one road, and it's through Christ. And if you know Christ, there's joy, there's forgiveness, and there's hope, and there's an eternity with God forever. Do you know Christ? That's why we do this, to tell you about Christ, to urge you to trust him as your Lord and Savior, to repent of sin, to believe in him, to place your faith and trust in him, and then to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are with him when you see him someday face to face. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. If you have questions about that, would you please talk to someone, anyone sitting around you or anyone that you can find tonight? We would love to talk to you about that. We'd love to meet any spiritual needs you might have and encourage you in Christ. We want to encourage you as well to stay. We'll tell you more about our reception in a moment afterwards, but our choir is going to come back up and our orchestra and our worship team are going to come up and lead us in one final selection of songs. Please bow your head with me in prayer as we prepare for that. Father, we want to thank you so much for this time of year. We are just humbled, Lord, as we consider that you, God, initiated the work that needed to be done to bring us to Christ, to bring us to salvation. Lord, thank you for not leaving us to ourselves. Thank you, Father, for not leaving us to our own devices to try and earn enough favor with you, to work our way to heaven, to do enough to try and commend ourselves to you. God, we could never do that. And what we could not do, you did through Christ upon the cross and his resurrection. Lord, we thank you. Lord, if there are any tonight who've never trusted you, would tonight be the night that they place their faith and trust in you? Lord, would you leave them, cause them to leave tonight with a conviction that no matter what happens, death will not separate them from you because of their faith and trust in you. Lord, minister the gospel to these hearts tonight. For us who know you, Lord, thank you that you've given us a reason to rejoice, that we can sing joy to the world because of what has taken place through your precious Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Can see what
much as I have, it's been a joy to sit and listen to the Word of God be read, a reminder of that great and awesome event that we can all be a part of thousands of years later, knowing that we are part of that family through Christ's blood. And what a great song to end with, Joy to the World. Would you stand with me as we sing?